And as you say, of course, someone like Martin will be looking, as it were, for an excuse to move ahead if he thinks at all that there's any danger on the domestic front. I do think it's important to always keep in mind that he checks every move he makes with Doug Dillon and Bob Rosa, so that as long as they stick with us, as indeed they, I think they've been doing very well the past couple of months, especially since we had that meeting. I think we can keep Martin under control, but the Europeans can bust us. And that's why these meetings in Paris are important. Both Rosa and I will go after the fellows from the continent. And then, since I can't get back till Wednesday night anyway, I might as well spend, that's a week from Wednesday, I might as well spend that day, if you do, as you indicate, feel it would be worthwhile, I might as well spend half a day there and see if I can't make a little of a dent on them, on Maudling in particular, who's a good friend of mine.
Well, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But now, after you get through this, let's don't make a lot of dates around the country. I need you here. I need you bad. I got Sorensen gone now, and you can write better than anybody in the government. I just want you to stay around here a little bit.
Well, as a matter of fact, after this spate of out-of-town dates here in
you got this February. Poverty thing, though, heading up. And
yes, that's true.
And Sorensen just tore Shriver to pieces yesterday, and he says that he just went back to where I was at the ranch with you. He said that they're just not going to give any special assistance to the president this money in the political year. You're going to handle it through existing agencies. I listened to it for an hour, and then I just felt so depressed I had to go to St. Louis. I got up and left, but that poverty thing is going to cause us a lot of headaches, because we're not going to get it passed if we don't get it in the right channels.
I had a couple of hours with Shriver today and later on with Bill Wirtz, and in that connection, of course, Shriver has the idea if we put these camps under the McNamara umbrella, we'll take a lot of the heat off of you and off of the, you know, the whole charge that there'll be sort of a slush fund and so forth for the president. At the same time, we're going to have to be damn careful to make sure we don't lose the conservationists who are, you know, they're strong on the CCC camp idea. This whole, to balance all these different things is obviously very tough. I think Shriver myself is making good progress. I think he's got a pretty realistic grasp of a great deal of this, and while there's still a lot of holes in it, and it's a damn tough program, I can't think of a better man to have charge of it.
Well, I think that's right from the standpoint of selling it up on the hill, but I think we've got to agree here, and you and Kermit are going to have to sit down with him and see if we get some agreement, and see if Wirtz and Celebrezze and the rest of them go along. Now, are they ready to go along and give their money to him to administer?
Well, there's a very their attitude has improved 1,000% on this score since Shriver was appointed. I mean, that think I mentioned earlier, I thought that was a brilliant move, because of course he is the kind of guy who commands respect, and they are all cooperating with him. And
what I think we'll have to do is let the money stay with them and let him write the draft on it some way or other.
Well, he of course has got somewhere or another, in substance, he's got to have control over that money if he's going to make a go of this.
Well, he can write the draft, and they can have it, and subject to a veto somewhere or other. We can't start it out with a new political agency, a guy running vice president, and a president in election year. Now, Walter, I just know that much about politics.
Yeah, right, because they're not going to come across.
They won't object to the Bureau of Education and Bureau of Labor Employment or whatever you got over.
Yeah. How about the Pentagon? I suppose that
If they don't go military, if
that's the point.
I just don't want a Hitler outfit started over there.
Yeah.
And McNamara is the smartest guy in the cabinet. He just got it. And if he'll buy it, I doubt that he'd buy it, but if Shriver can get him to buy it, he'll go up and swing for it. That is the best chance we've got out of it.
Yeah.
But now you go on, you spend tomorrow thinking about this tax speech and how simple we can get it and get your lead pencil out like Eisenhower did with that yellow tablet the day he came in after the assassination.
Oh, yes.
And you just write me 1,200 words. That will be Franklin D. Roosevelt. That's what I want.
that's a tall order, Mr.
Now, well, the guy gets $100 a week, though. He gets his withholding reduced 4%, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
So that's $4 a week. And that's $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he can take that $20 a month, and let's spell it out where he understands it. What does the average guy get, about $100 a week?
Well, the average wage of manufacturing now is $101, that's right. And that's one that we certainly can deal with. Of course, that's about a 50, about 50.
What does this do for the farm boy? They're not making much money, so I guess it doesn't affect them.
No, I'm afraid that, unless you get up with the big fellas, the big operators, this isn't going to be the greatest thing in the world for the farm community. But I think we can do something with the specifics and with what it'll do for business and so on.
What do they get, $1.5 billion?
Business gets $1.5 billion reduction in liabilities this year. That's right.
And what is the what?
Another billion next year.
But what does the wage earner get? 8, 9 billion.
The wage earner gets $8 billion if we start on March 1st. That's
so it's
right.
8 and 1.5.
So you see, there's 9.5 right this year, 1964, and
what's this going to do to their stock market?
Well, I think what it's going to do is to prevent any potential drop in the market. I think a fair amount of this is discount. I think it'll push it over 800 for a while on the Dow Jones. But
what was when you came? 700?
61. I'm trying to remember. I think it was under 700. I think it was in the, there was a big run-up in the early part of the Kennedy administration. I'd have to find that out. That's something I should have at my fingertips, but I don't. I would say it was in the mid, if I had to guess, I'd say it was in around 650. But I'd have to look that up. I could be 50 points off.
Now, Orville tells me we're going to lose $50 million on our budget on agriculture, on cotton and stuff. Now, you think if this English thing goes into 1%, and if we have to go up 1%, we're really going to get screwed on our $700 million commodity stuff, don't you?
Well, that's right. Now, we wouldn't have, we of course wouldn't have to go up 1%, and God knows, Doug doesn't, isn't saying we'd have to go up even with a 1%, but we'd have to go up about 0.5%. And Kermit Gordon feels that even 0.5% would lose us several hundred million on the budget. We've got to fight this damn thing all we can. You didn't get any commitment from Hume at all.
None, whatever, except he'd talk to Malding and he would present my viewpoint. I just told him as hell. And the trouble, Walter, is everybody just treats us as like we all used to treat our mother. They impose on us. We just know that she's sweet and good and wonderful, and she's going to be kind to us, and she'll always know that we came out of her womb and that we belong to her. And every damn one of them talk to me that way. I don't care who it is. I just talk to 113 nations. And they just screw us to death.
Yeah.
And I'm not an isolationist, and I don't want a fortress America and so forth, but I'm just getting driven over to it every day the way they treat us. He went out here and said, we're going to increase our trade with Cuba. I said, now, damn it, this is political. And what you ought to do is say you were selling Cuba $55 million, you reduced it to 55 to 5, and that's more than the United States has reduced her trade. He said, all right, that's fine. That's what I'll do.
Uh-huh.
And he went out and he said, we're going to increase it. And he was honest because the bus deal will increase it.
Yeah.
But that's a hell of a thing to do, and every headline in the United States said he's increasing it, and it's a flop and a failure. And he hurt his relations, and he made mine terrible.
Yeah, and he could have accentuated the positives and helped you both.
He's reduced it from 55 to 5.
Yeah.
But what you got to do, I don't know your other men. I got a good memo from one of them today, Ashley. Is he?
Ackley. Well, Ackley is just absolutely, well, both of them are. You know that we haven't talked about that health message, which we quickly worked over.
That's the best thing that's happened except the State of the Union.
Well.
And except the economic message, those two. You just got to take on some more of that stuff. Ted's leaving. We have nobody else can do it. And I will not read this crap they send in here to me.
Well,
I read your memos and I read Orville Freeman's and the rest of them. I just can't get through them. I can't wade through one of these ordinary memos that come from an ordinary department. I just can't read it.
Well, I did want to say that on that health message, both Lewis and Ackley pitched in, and they had full shares.
Why don't you bring them over someday when you get back next week? Let me compliment them and thank them and. And maybe let me see some of your staff sometime so I can let them know, because you're the president's right arm, and I don't feel good when you're gone. So you go on and get your Monday and Tuesday over with, and then go on to Paris and get your globetrotting over with, and then you come back here, because we got election on, and Dick Nixon's going to be here if we don't do it right, and I don't have anybody to do it, because I was out in St. Louis yesterday, and I had 100,000, and they just tore up everything, but my speech wasn't worth a damn.
Yeah, but I gather you had a terrific reception.
Oh, it was unthinkable. They just knocked down fences and tore over things, but I've got to have a little substance in these speeches. I've got to have some ideas. You got to get a new idea and say, now, what's this lead going to be?
Yeah.
What's the idea going to be? Now, Kermit Gordon says they can write them, but I never have seen much come out of budget that had that was modernized. He's a wonderful fella, and I think he did the greatest job on the budget I ever saw done.
Terrific.
But I don't think that he is a headline writer. I don't think the budget.
Well, I tell you, you should get Kermit to write some of them himself. Kermit's damn good, after all.
I may be able to do it, but maybe I better get you to get him to do it. What I want you to do is just bear in mind now the problem we had. There have been more people read the economic message and talk to me about it than all of them in 30 years that I've been here.
Yeah, well, I don't, there really has been a terrific reception to that, no question about it. And it was your
it wasn't anything
your style.
What y'all did.
That was made to order, Mr. President. I must say, all over the country, I've talked to people out in Minnesota and so forth that never would have dreamed of reading that before, and they published big gobs of it in the paper out there, and it was read. So
Well, you get your Monday and Tuesday over with, but tomorrow you get to work on this speech, this tax thing. And if you need to have somebody over in Treasury help you, I call them up and say that I'm getting some data together. The president's asked me on the tax message. I don't want to get any jealousy.
No,
I've read Fowler's and I've read Dillon's.
Yeah.
And they read just about like they talk. They're both dull. And I like them and I'm fond of them and I don't want to change them. But
I understand.
I'm just talking to you confidentially.
Yeah.
To me, they don't spring me in. And I want a Hubert Humphrey stuff. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want something that excites you a little bit. And that health message, I read it all through after you got through rewriting it, which you damn sure had to rewrite it because it was lost in the first one.
Yeah, well, we did, especially the first half of it, we did a lot of rewriting. The second half, we did more just simplifying and rearranging. But it sure needed it. It just didn't have any zip.
Well, now you got 1,200 words on this tax thing, so just start out by saying the average American will get $20 a month more take-home pay tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. He won't get quite that much.
Well,
you're using that as an illustration.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you.
Right.
I'm trying to tell you old Joe Blow that came in, had been working on an old tractor all day and in the garage, and he comes in, and his wife's got the TV on and listening to the president. I want him to be able to understand me.
Yeah, right. And
then I want the businessman that's sitting up there to realize that he's getting a couple of billion out of it, billion and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does in orders and what it does to the economy. And
what it does to the strength and world leadership of the country. And I think one has to move, if we keep it too much in terms of so and so many dollars per person, which you've got to start with, then of course they may say, well, you know, that's such a small amount. I think one has to, and I'm sure this is what you want, one also has to aggregate it, total it up in terms of what it's going to do for lifting the whole economy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you're not concerned with inflation. You don't think this is going to give us a problem there?
Well, we really don't, and Dylan doesn't, and Dylan...
Because of our unused capacity and our unemployment and everything.
That's right, and because of a lot more labor force and capacity coming on stream constantly, you know. In this respect, we're better off than almost any other advanced country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should put a good pitch in this speech, and again, obviously in simple terms, on how their gains to date and their gains this year will be real gains. They won't evaporate in price increases, because I think that's a very important point to get home to them. Sure, as the economy moves towards fuller use of resources, yeah, there'll be more pressures, there'll be more temptations, and that's why we took this rather tough line on wages and prices.
What are you going to do with Reuther? Are you going to keep him in line, you think?
Well, Bill and I had quite a talk this afternoon, and he's going to get McNamara and Hodges and myself together with him next week. He's obviously taking his responsibility damn seriously, and I think it's right to put the finger on Bill, so to speak, in this operation. I do think that if we could get any kind of a commitment out of the automobile companies, and we're studying them to see whether by any chance the other companies other than GM could stand a little bit of at least a token price decrease. If we could get something like that, we'd take a lot of the steam out of the Reuther drive for excessive wage increases.
Well, Walter can't bust us up, though, and cause a strike here in election year. He's got to wait till January.
Well, but you see, the way he looks at it, his boys think he hasn't been getting enough for them, and there's those fat profits, and this is the time when the contract's open. And it's a hellishly bad time from the standpoint of the election.
When is it, September?
Yeah, it's August. I think the strike date would be about August 1st. And we've just got to avoid that, and we've got to avoid, at the same time, touching off any kind of a dominoes movement on prices. The greatest thing we could do for price stability, and I think for you as president in terms of economic, showing economic leadership and price stability and so forth, the greatest thing we could do would be to get some sort of a small decrease in automobile prices out of this. I don't know that it's possible because, of course, General Motors is so damn deficient and so far out of in front of the others, but it would be a triumph if we could get it. It would be a sort of an example for industry generally. I kind of dream about this, and maybe it's a totally idle dream, but we've got to give it a try. When I was up in New York last week, I talked with this fellow who originally put me together with the steel industry, and I don't know whether you were aware that at that time we managed to talk Tyson and the U.S. Steel in April 63 out of going up on a number of products, and we talked them down to a much more modest price increase. And these fellows want to help us do the same thing, that is, help us either hold the price line or cut the price line on autos. We've got to proceed with enormous care, but I'd love to see us pull this one off sometime this year.
Now, you get whoever's on your staff that's competent in this field. You got 50 over there. You get the best ones. You get Treasury and Federal Reserve or anybody else you need.
Yeah.
You get the tax bill, and let's start thinking and
right.
get them working before you leave here.
I will.
On 1,200 words, and we don't want a 10-word sentence, and we don't want over a six-letter word, and we want to put it right down to earth, just like Roosevelt's fireside chat on what this tax bill, and then I'm going to sign it in front of 100 people. We'll have some of these people worked on the tax committee and some of the labor leaders and some of the others.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll make the, we'll put the speech on teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
And say, now, I am tonight signing this tax bill, which will do so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
we'll do our damnedest. Jack Valenti gave us a little advance warning a couple of hours ago, so I've already...
He already called you? Well,
he called us just to give us, not nearly this specific, so I've already got Gardner Ackley braced on it, and this isn't totally a surprise.
Are you going to be back Tuesday night?
I don't finish there until damn near midnight, so
where
I can't
you?
Be back till that'll be in Minnesota. I won't be back till Wednesday.
Well, I thought you'd just been Minnesota. You
I have
farming out there, are you?
No, but I got my family out there. They're not down here.
Oh, good.
And so I get out whenever I can. Well, there's a problem of both they were here until last fall, and I have a problem both of our kids finishing high school out there, and Mrs. Heller has an arthritic condition. The doctor felt she'd be better off out there than here. So I commute as much as I can. It's a pretty long commute.
I didn't know that. Well, you'd be better off in Texas than you would either place where you get that sunshine.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, you organize this thing farming now, and let's get going, and you get somebody at Treasury without making them envious or jealous or thinking that we're running around them on the tax bill, but you tell them to get us a memo that I want a memo to work on myself to spell this thing out. And I think you know it about as well as they do, don't you?
I think so.
All right. Okay.
I think we can do
okay.
it.
Okay.
Righto, Mr. President.